This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Jennifer Graham, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the final Saturday before Thanksgiving. Hard to believe Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday. This year just continues to fly right along. So, of course, a big day of football across the state with the semifinals for 11-man football. 8-man football wrapped up last night with the championship game at Monmouth College. Polo beat defending champion Milford Sis in the park 50-26, finishing 12-0 and claiming the 8-man football championship. And, you know, that was a situation this year. 16 teams in the entirety of the 8-man league, so they all made the playoffs. But, boy, there just seems to be a pretty good feel that this 8-man football is going to continue to grow here as the years move along. So look out for that in the coming seasons. Congratulations to Pawnee's Jack Crotterville. He was named first team All-State for 8-man football here in 2019. So congratulations to Jack Crotterville of Pawnee. We're going to talk more football here as the hour moves along. We have a conversation with Williamsville head coach Aaron Kuntz lined up for you. We'll bring that to you later on in the program as the Bullets get set to take on Quincy Notre Dame today in the 3A state semifinals. We're going to start, though, with girls hoops as all sorts of Thanksgiving tournaments underway now. And last night at the Thanksgiving tournament in Taylorville, Hillsboro tipped off their 2019-20 season. They played Mount Zion last night. Toppers fell by the final of 54-37. And their head coach, Brett Teakin, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, another year and another trek to Taylorville for the Thanksgiving tournament. And, Teak, this has been a tournament over the years that has been good for you guys in the early season to find out exactly where you stand.
Yeah, it's got five 3A school class teams in it, and we're the only 1 or 2A school in it. So we jump right in and get going with some good competition.
Of course, you're going to have a different looking team this year with that great group of seniors who graduated from a year ago, but that just presents opportunity for a new set of young ladies.
Yeah, that's kind of how we've been promoting it this year and stuff, that there's a lot of opportunity for playing time. There's a lot of opportunity for girls to step in and go beyond the role players that they've been in the past. And it'll be fun to watch and see who steps up and takes those roles.
Of course, last year, really the last several years, you've been so guard dominant with that great talent you had. This year, you know, you got Nakia Harston, Claire Tester on the inside. So will we see a little bit more of an inside-out game for the Toppers this year?
Yeah, we're doing some double post stuff and looking at a little bit different. Our inexperience is mostly at the guard play, so it's going to take them a little while to maybe feel comfortable and stuff like that. And hopefully while they're doing that, we can get the ball inside to Claire, Nakia, Macy Blankenship, and Emily Reynolds hitting some from inside and out.
You know, those four young ladies, they all got minutes for you last year, and as you guys made that deep postseason run, their play on the inside had a lot to do with it. But now this year they're going to be asked to do even more.
Yeah, last year early in the year, one of the things whenever we have our individual player meetings, I talked to them last year and said, we don't really need you to be a scorer. We need you to play defense and rebound. And any scoring we get from you is a positive. Well, it was a little bit different this year. We still need the defense and rebounding, but we're going to need scoring out of you, too.
And, I mean, that's one of those situations where they'll take the challenge, but that becomes more taxing each game when you can't take time off on the offensive end and maybe take a break a little bit. You got to bring it there and the defensive end as well.
Yeah, it's going to put a little bit more pressure and stress on those players, but they're a year older and they're looking forward to the opportunity. And I think all the players, whether they're guards or forwards, are looking to an opportunity to show what they can do and that they weren't just bench players last year. It just happened to be the fact we had some really good seniors ahead of them. Now it's their opportunity to shine and show that they can play too.
So talk to us about the group of girls that will be tasked with being your new backcourt this year.
Okay, Emily Reynolds is moving more from a forward to more of a guard forward position, and she'll be helping handle the ball some. Shelby Hooley came back out this year. She had an injury at the beginning of last year and chose not to play, so having her back is going to be really nice for us. And then also Haley Major is going to be part of the guard mix. Maddie Rupert is going to be part of the guard mix. They're both juniors along with Vanessa Compton. And then freshman Maddie Rupert, Maddie and Aubrey's sister, Lainey Rupert, is a freshman on varsity, and she's going to be getting quite a bit of minutes at guards also. And then Emma Miller rounds out varsity as of right now, and she'll be spelling a little time here and there in the post.
And, you know, a couple of those names you mentioned we recognize from other sports, and that's always been a key, too, to not just have basketball players but to have athletes.
Yeah, we encourage all of our players to play more than one sport. Don't just specialize. You're only in high school one time, and if you enjoy the sports, go out for them, and then they give you different aspects that I think you can carry from one sport to another, and you can learn from one sport to another. I think most of these players, we don't really have many players that are specializing in just basketball. They do play other sports, and I think it's good for them.
I think you mentioned you guys are really one of the only 1A or 2A schools over at Taylorville. So what are you looking for out of your club here once this tournament is behind you guys?
Mainly improvement from one game to the next. We really never have gone over to Taylorville, and just our sole goal is, I mean, you try to win every game, but our goal is not necessarily just to win that tournament. I think we've only won it a couple times we've been over there. I mean, year we won state, we got third at Taylorville, and last year we got third at Taylorville. So whether it's an experienced team, whether it's an inexperienced team, we're just looking to improve from game to game and get ready for conference is really what I'm focused on.
And you have always had the mindset of playing as tough of a schedule as you can through the year. You know, you go to Taylorville, of course, you go to Highland later on in the year. But we've seen it. Last year, you know, the most recent example, when you challenge yourself throughout the regular season, when you get into the 2A playoffs, boy, does that pay huge dividends.
Yeah, we've had, throughout the years, we've had some pretty good success winning regionals and things like that throughout the years. And I think a lot of that can go to the schedule that you set yourself up during the regular season. I kind of focus on conference and postseason and, it has been pretty successful for us. It may not always show up in a great record because we do lose some games, especially early. But our girls generally are a lot better team in January than they are in November.
Your schedule today, sort of like the old school state tournament, you'll play in the morning, take a break, and then play again in the evening. So how will you approach the day with your club?
Well, we got Rochester first in the morning, and we'll give it all we got. We're only going to actually have 9 players dressed today. Vanessa Compton has a choir singing thing that she had to go to, so she won't be there. So everybody will get a lot of minutes today, and it'll give us a chance to kind of see where they all stand.
Sounds good. Teek, we always appreciate your time throughout the season, sir, and, hey, we're glad it's hoop season.
All right, thank you.
All right, Brett Teekin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers. Yep, they will play Rochester at 11:30 this morning, then take on Jacksonville at 5 o'clock this evening over at Taylorville. The other scores from Taylorville yesterday, Mount Zion beat Hillsboro 54-37. Civic Memorial rolled over Jacksonville, and I mean rolled over Jacksonville. 87-5 was the final. The Crimsons did not score in the second half, 87-5. And Rochester beat Taylorville 43-32. Of course, Hillsboro and Rochester both going to be a part of the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer, which comes up on December the 14th. Hillsboro will be playing the Lincoln Wood girl outfit, and Rochester will be taking on Pleasant Plains. It's going to be a heck of a matchup coming up on the 14th at the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. The Rochester Plains game will be 6:30 that night, all 8 games at Lincoln Wood and on WSMI-FM. 106. We need to get to a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We're going to talk with Southwestern head coach Steve Woolley this morning. Coach Woolley picked up career victory number 500 with the Lady Pius Allbirds earlier this week. So we'll catch up with Coach Woolley to talk about that accomplishment. We'll also talk with Carletonville girls head coach Darren Deneve, Litchfield boys coach Drew Logan on the way, and our conversation with Williamsville football coach Aaron Kuntz, all still to come on Sports Saturday. All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you very much. Hey, we got a big day of Fighting Illini athletics for you. The football team is at Iowa today, 10 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. The basketball team will be hosting Hampton tonight, 6 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. We've got Fighting Illini football, basketball, coaches shows for you. All of it, all season long on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. The coaches show is always Monday night. It's the Lovie Smith Show this week, 7 o'clock. On 105.3 The Ox and the Brett Underwood Show when it gets to rolling, also Monday nights on The Ox. For the football team, well, they are looking for 5 straight wins. They've won 4 in a row for the first time since 2011. It'll be the 75th meeting between Illinois and Iowa. Their first meeting came all the way back in 1899. They didn't play from 1953 to 1966 after a fight following the 1952 game. And believe it or not, Illinois leads the all-time series. Illinois 38-34-2 against Iowa all-time. They're 18-18-2 in Iowa City. So we'll see if the Illini can get it done today on the road at number 18, Iowa. And, of course, Iowa's stud defensive end, A.J. Espinosa from Edwardsville. So he will be licking his chops to take on the Illini coming up today, 10 o'clock pregame on 105.3. The Ox. And I think we have on the phone with us right now the head coach of the Southwestern Lady Piasaw Birds, Steve Woolley. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Hey, congratulations. 500 wins with the Lady Piasaw Birds. Steve, that is remarkable.
Well, yeah, it means a lot to me. I mean, it's a long time coming, put a lot of time and effort into it. So, yeah, I feel good about that.
I remember I mentioned it to you late last year that you're getting close, and you were like, really? I said, yeah, you're getting right there. And the coaches like you who have the success, you never look back. You're always looking forward, and that's one of the reasons why you have as much success as you do. But looking back on the time, Steve, to me, you were ahead of the game in this sense. You were involved in a middle school program, it seems to me, long before that was the norm. Now it's a normal thing for the high school coach to be down in the lower levels getting things established. But when you started doing that back in the day, there weren't a lot of people doing that, I don't believe.
No, there was a lot more sanity back then. No, it's a lot of time and effort, but I knew switching over that, you know, in order to get the high school program where it needed to be, obviously the lower levels needed to get a lot of fundamental work done and just the understanding of how to play the game. And you can do a lot of that down there. And I think, you know, there was myself and I remember I think Bobby Allen was doing a little bit of that at the time too over in Litchfield. And so, you know, it's what it takes, you know. The kids got to have a good understanding when they come into the high school level, and that definitely helps.
And, you know, fundamentals in basketball at any level, critical. But for high school girls basketball, the fundamentals are even more important because, you know, you get good athletes, but it's not the same type of explosive athleticism you might see at the boy level. So when your team is fundamentally sound, that makes you really tough to beat.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. Again, compensating for maybe lack of the athleticism. And again, it's the haves and the have-nots a lot. The programs that have put the time in at the lower levels and they have the fundamentals, then you can actually expand on that. And that's why it's fun to play some of the, you know, the higher-level teams because, you know, they're going to come in fundamentally sound, too. Now you can concentrate more on X's and O's and that kind of thing, but when you're still struggling to do basic fundamental things, it's really frustrating. So, yeah, that's the, you know, like I say, it's kind of the haves and the have-nots. The programs have built the fundamentals, and they're ready to move on to the more advanced skills and strategies and things like that. It's just a whole another level of basketball.
And when you have the system in place like you do, the expectation is there. So the girls in sixth grade, they know what's expected. When they get to eighth grade, they know what's expected. And by the time they get into high school, there's no surprises. It's all been laid out in front of them. This is what you're expected to do. And if you do it, you're going to have success.
Right. Yeah, and it's all the buy-in, you know, at the lower level. This learning the terminology is huge, too. You can relate it to a lot of other academic areas. But, you know, vocabulary and all the verbiage that goes along with basketball, you can get all that out of the way. And you can get all the ball handling out of the way. And you can get all the shooting fundamentals out of the way, and then they're coming in you know, from a place where, like I say, you can move on and advance with your strategies and that kind of thing. So.
And you guys have a lot of talent coming back from last year's team. Just talk a little bit about this year's squad. And boy, you got a lot there.
Yeah, we've got, first off, and we have a couple good senior leaders. I mean, they'll be role players in our program this year, but they're good kids, and they're good as good role models for the other kids. That's Ellie Lois and Natalie Keith. And, again, both of them are hardworking kids that are going to be good role models and leaders for our team. And then, you know, the junior class is a fairly athletically talented class. We've got Corey Hopkins will be one of the post players. She's close to 6 foot. We've got Annie Gallagher, who's another 5'10", 5'11 post. That's going to be another good threat inside. As far as guard play, our point guard position, Riley Smith, is going to be, you know, probably our go-to scoring-wise from the perimeter, and also ball handler. She's going to be a key player because she's going to do quite a bit for us. Josie Bullion is another junior that's going to be an off-guard shooting guard, athletic player, good defender. So I'm looking for a lot out of that junior class. And then our sophomore class are the ones that had quite a bit of success in junior high. And, you know, there's a little bit of everything in that class there. We've got some shooting guards, and Morgan Durham's been starting for his first couple games, athletic, lanky player. We've got Addie Green's another good offensive threat, shoots the ball pretty well. And I got Whitney Keith, really kind of like the Energizer Bunny, somebody give you a good spark off the bench, good defender. We got Hannah Nixon, who she's probably maybe a year away physically, strength-wise and everything, but very smart kid, knows everything we're doing. I'm looking for her to progress a lot as the year goes on, too. So, yeah, we've got a few kids. I mean, it's good because it creates that competition that you're looking for in practices, and we can get a lot of quality time in the gym.
You know, you mentioned Riley Smith. She's had a big role for you her first 2 years, and she seems to me, Steve, to be one of those kids. She's not afraid. When the shot's there, she's going to take it.
Yeah, she's going to play with a lot of confidence this year. She's put a ton of time into just the physical side of it, strength and conditioning, and very dedicated to the game. She's put a lot of time with her skills, and so I think she has very high expectations for herself. And she's a kid I'm not ever going to have to push because she's going to get everything out of her abilities herself. So very happy with where she's at right now.
And see, I feel like you've had a number of those types of players in your time at Southwestern, where when your quote-unquote best player is also your hardest worker, man, that just rubs off on everybody.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to attract, you know, I think the very good academic kids, and if they're conscientious in the classroom, that usually spills over to the basketball, and so I've been, like I say, very fortunate over the years to attract kids like that into the program, and then, you know, once they feel themselves getting better with their skill work, most of those kids will take it and run with it, you know what I mean, and that's a huge key.
Talking with Steve Lloyd, the head coach of the Southwestern Piassaw Birds, the latest member of the 500 Win Club. And Steve, I've always felt like you guys are where's Waldo when it comes to Christmas tournaments. Never know where you're going to be. And this year you're in Missouri?
Yeah, we've over the years really bounced around a lot. Kind of this was a kind of a unique opportunity this year. I saw an opening down there and kind of inquired about it and found out that, hey, you know, they're going to put us up in a hotel, they're going to pay our meals and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I was like, hey, this might be a nice bonding experience to get down there. There's some really quality teams in that tournament. So, I mean, we'll get challenged really, really, really well down there. And so, yeah, I just think it's going to be kind of a neat thing for the kids, and we're looking forward to that, actually. There's Rolla really has a really nice team. And I think Licking, Missouri, really nice team. I got Kansas City Central's there, Sedalia, Orangeburg, some really quality teams there. So looking forward to that, something different. But, yeah, over the years, I mean, we went everywhere, Beardstown to, you know, Jerseyville to Lebanon, all over the place. So.
And the fact you guys get to stay down there, that will add just another element to it. That will be a very fun weekend.
Yeah, I'd say the kids get excited about that kind of stuff. You know, like in the summertime, every once in a while when you do a shootout and stay overnight, they get excited about that kind of stuff. So I just thought it'd be a neat experience and help with the bonding.
Steve, as you kind of look here, I know it's early, long way to go, such a long season, but a couple of keys for the Piassaw Birds to have the type of season you expect them to have, or what?
I'm sorry?
A couple of the keys for you guys to have a successful season, what are they in your mind?
Oh, I think we can't be complacent with like where we're at right now. We've got, again, we've got a lot of youth between the sophomore and the junior class, and those kids still have a lot of growth left in them in terms of understanding the game and, you know, the physical part, getting stronger and all that kind of stuff. So I think just continually making strides in those areas like that and not being complacent with where we're at. I think, I mean, there is some talent there, so I think sometimes they like to rest on that. But I think we've got good enough leadership where they just need to continue to push themselves in every aspect of the game because we've got growth in all those areas to make. So if they have that kind of an attitude, I think by the end of the season we should be pretty competitive team.
Sounds good. Steve Wood, the head coach of Southwestern, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we'll see you down the road.
Well, thank you. You guys have a good holiday.
Steve Wood, the head coach of the Southwestern Lady Pius All Birds, the newest member of the 500 Win Club. And the program that he has built at Southwestern is just phenomenal. And he talked about it. He got down in those lower levels early. That's just how things are done now. That was not the case back then. You remember, he was the boys coach first and then moved to the girls. And, you know, back then, you know, in the late 90s, that got people's attention. Like, what? He's leaving the boys' job for the girls' job? He had a plan. He knew what he was doing. And 500 wins later, he has built Southwestern into one of those perennial teams that you just know year in, year out, they're going to be right there. They will be in Litchfield today at the 21st Annual Thanksgiving Tournament. They will be taking on Nokomis at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Then Litchfield will face Carlisle at 2:30 in the opening day of the Litchfield Thanksgiving Tournament. The Litchfield boys, they will be at Metro East Lutheran beginning next week. They've been going to that tournament for a number of years. Going to catch up with their head coach, Drew Logan, in just a moment here on Sports Saturday, as the boys' basketball season will tip off on Monday. You'll have the Metro East tournament. You've got the Stovetop Stuffing Classic going on. You've got the New Berlin Thanksgiving tournament that happens as well. So once we get to next week, of course, the football state championships will be set, and then we'll be full throttle with boys and girls hoops starting next Monday. Of course, we had our first broadcast on the radio last week, our traditional opener with Nokomis and Litchfield. You can always find our broadcast online and podcasts at WQSMIRadio.com. The T-Toad Shootout versus Cancer, the second annual, coming up on December the 14th. Looking forward to that very much. It'll be at Terry's alma mater this year, Lincolnwood. And shirts are available right now, CubbyholeOnline.com. Paul Benty with the Cubbyhole does such great work. T-shirts, long sleeve shirts, and hooded sweatshirts are all available this year with the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer T-shirts. They're in all the participating schools' colors. That store open, I believe, till December the 2nd. CubbyholeOnline.com to get your T-shirts or long sleeve shirts or hooded sweatshirts for the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer, which comes up December the 14th at Lincolnwood High School. Congratulations to Vern Pinkston, by the way. He's been selected to the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame. Lincolnwood coach Matt Milberg nominated Vern this past fall, and they surprised Vern last night at the Lancer Basketball Preview. And, of course, Vern's been the scorekeeper at Lincolnwood for a long, long time. As long as I've ever known, Vern Pinkston's been the scorekeeper at Lincolnwood. So congratulations to Vern on that great honor going into the Illinois Basketball Hall of Fame coming up. So congratulations to Vern on that honor. We're going to take a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And joining us on the phone right now is Litchfield Purple Panthers head coach Drew Logan. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, are you in practice right now?
Yeah, well, hey, just stepped out, yes.
And I know, as a basketball guy, Drew, you're a lifer. The game of basketball, you love it so much. So in the off season, when you can't be in the gym every day with official practices, it probably just kind of wears on you.
Oh, yeah. I'm Saturday practices are like my favorite thing. I'm not sure that the high school kids feel the same, but this is my favorite day of practice. And a lot of times, I mean, it'll take a little bit for the kids to get woke up, but, man, it is. And we usually have really good practice on Saturday, so I'm excited to be in here and trying to get some work in to make sure that we're confident and prepared for Monday.
Now, what is it about the Saturday practice? Just the fact that there's no school, it's morning time, what is it?
I don't know. I mean, even as a player, I always enjoyed the Saturday practice. I don't know if it was, you know, I grew up on a farm, so I don't know if it was the fact that it got me out of some of my chores. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I've always loved Saturday practice. It's just something that, something I've always really enjoyed. And like I said, we get a lot of work in and get an opportunity to, you know, have a little bit of fun on Saturday and try to be prepared as we go into next week.
Drew, I saw you this past Tuesday, was there for the girls game when they took on Nokomis, but you had told me some injuries early with your club.
Yeah, we're still a little banged up. We're fighting through them. One of the biggest issues we talked about going into this year was just depth. We've got some inexperience, which we had inexperience last year too. But we've got some depth issues. So now with the injuries that have kind of presented themselves, some guys that maybe weren't going to get first team reps have been able to get them. Some guys will get more playing time this week than maybe we had anticipated. So I think in the long run, there'll be some growing pains early, but I think in the long run, it's going to really benefit us.
Yeah, you had an experience last year, Drew, but you also had Sam Painter.
That is accurate. what was interesting about that is, you know, we kind of knew as a coaching staff going in that we could have a pretty good year. And on paper, based on the year before, people were kind of, I guess, skeptical, which, you know, I don't say that I wouldn't be either. But we had seen kind of what Sam had done during the summer and the work he was putting in during the fall. So we really kind of anticipated a big year. I don't know that we anticipated quite the year we had, but we were definitely expecting a big year out of that group and a big year out of him.
And I guess, Drew, like this year, I mean, Brady Bishop had a big year for you a year ago. Right. But this year, opposed to last year, where it was, okay, Sam's going to do it. He'll take us home. That's right. Not there right. This year. So as you kind of look at your team early, who's that guy or group of guys who that falls on now?
Yeah, and we talked as a coaching staff a lot last year. We made a lot of changes offensively and defensively, and one of the things we joked about all year was our JV ran everything better than our varsity did. The varsity just had Sam. So we joked about that, but now we even see that in practice. They're doing things in practice this year that are maybe, I won't say a step above what the group did last year, but they have to do a little bit more of the offensive stuff than maybe the last year's group did. And, I mean, we've got, obviously, Brady's kind of the hinge pin of our group. He's the guy that's going to take the big shots. He's the guy that's going to be able to create for us. But, I mean, I've got Blaine Stewart, a sophomore, who will be another big scoring threat. He dressed varsity last year, practiced with those guys every day, so he definitely saw a lot of improvement last year. But then I've got three seniors that are going to kind of anchor our group with John Corso, Anthony Boston, and Austin Niehaus. All played tons of minutes on JV. All of them played big minutes in varsity games last year. All of them had a great summer. And Anthony's kind of filling that role that Ethan Washburn did last year, and Anthony's doing a really nice job. So we've got those guys that I really am going to have to count on. We talked about it today in practice about being smart on Monday's game and Tuesday's game about not getting foul trouble and just, you know, with our depth issues, there are certain guys that we really need to be on the floor the whole time. We've got some guys, you know, Blake McGill, played a lot of JV minutes last year. He's going to play a lot of minutes on varsity. And then Chase Hires and Jordan Harris, two juniors, will definitely get minutes and definitely are going to be a big part of this team this year.
And it sounds like you should be able to have five quality athletes on the floor at pretty much all times.
Yeah, and we saw it a lot this summer. I mean, you know, obviously during the summer you go around and play games, and sometimes you're full strength, sometimes you're not. But my five guys, the five main guys that I had, were almost always there. And sometimes, there were a couple times we had to take freshmen to fill our seventh and eighth spots. And those guys, you know, I told them, I said, I kind of count on you guys to be out there. So, again, it's a matter of staying healthy, which obviously we're struggling with right now. But staying healthy, making sure that we're, you know, taking care of ourselves, and then on top of it, making sure that we play smart and don't put ourselves in foul trouble.
You'll be at the Metro Tournament on Monday. That's an interesting tournament, Drew. I don't think maybe it's as big as it was a few years ago, but that is a big field.
It's 16 teams, and it's crazy every year because four or five teams change. I mean, you know, if whoever wins between us and Gillespie gets to play Breeze Modern Day on Tuesday, and Breeze wasn't in the tournament last year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of turnover. But I do think it's a quality tournament. It's a good way to start because there's a really good mix of top-level teams along with average and below-average teams. So you kind of get a mix throughout that week.
Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, thank you for a few minutes of your time. We'll let you get back in the gym, sir.
All right, thanks, Tim.
All right, Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield and the Purple Panthers. They begin their season on Monday against Gillespie at the Metro East Thanksgiving Tournament. Of course, come Monday, all the boys will be rolling. So many boys Thanksgiving tournaments now, more than there ever used to be back in the day. But that's just the norm now. I mean, you're going to see basically all the teams in some sort of tournament here in the month of November, one way or another. Now, well, of course, what messes that up for some of the boys' teams is when their football team makes a deep, deep playoff run. Of course, you got the state semifinals coming up today. Williamsville will be at Quincy Notre Dame. That's a 2 o'clock kick. We'll be talking with Bullets head coach Aaron Koontz coming up later on in the hour here on Sports Saturday. And then another Sangamo team still alive, Athens. They will be hosting Central A&M today in a 1A semifinal. That game will kick off at 2 o'clock also today in Athens. And I believe we have on the phone with us right now the head coach of the Carletonville Cavaliers. Nope, we had a little bit of a phone transfer issue. That'll happen from time to time when you're dealing with live radio. So Jennifer will get that taken care of. But all sorts of bells and whistles, all sorts of wires to uncross and plug in and get them to the right area. So we're working on that. We'll have Darren in just a moment here on WQSMI Sports Saturday. Running down the schedule of events for today, the Carletonville Tip-Off Classic. This is the first year of this event, and the third-place game has Shelbyville against Brussels. That'll be at noon today. Carletonville will take on CSE. That's the Camp Point Central Co-op. That'll be the championship game coming up at 1:30, a good early season test for Carletonville. Mention the Litchfield Thanksgiving Tournament, Nokomis Southwestern at 1, Litchfield-Carlisle at 2:30. Over in Taylorville this morning, CM and Mount Zion at 10, Hillsboro and Rochester at 11:30. Taylorville will face Jacksonville at 1. Then in the evening session, Hillsboro against Jacksonville at 5. Taylorville against CM at 6:30. Rochester will face Mount Zion at 8 o'clock. At the Pena Thanksgiving Tournament, Williamsville against Central A&M at 10. Mattoon faces Centralia Christ Our Rock Lutheran at 11:30. Both of those games in the junior high gymnasium. Then in the high school gym at 10 o'clock, Pena against Athens. St. Elmo Brownstown faces Ocal Valley at 11:30. At 3 o'clock in the high school, Ocal Valley against Christ Our Rock Lutheran. At 4:30, St. Elmo Brownstown faces Mattoon. At 6, it'll be Pena against Williamsville. And at 7:30, Athens will take on Central A&M. At the Waverly Tournament this morning, Auburn and North Green are underway. They tipped at 9 o'clock. Carrollton faces South County at 10:30. North Mac against Triopia at noon, with South Fork against Springfield Lutheran at 1:30. At the Clinton Turkey Tussle Championship game, 5:30 tonight. Third place at 4, fifth place at 2:30. The seventh place game at 1 o'clock this afternoon has Riverton against Mount Pulaski. And the Cranberry Pool finished with three teams, all at 2-1, Clinton, Stanford Olympia, and Deer Creek Mackinac. So I'm not sure where they are falling in terms of their positioning today, but Porta will be playing for the championship. They won the stuffing pool. At the Columbia Invitational, Marquette against Columbia. That's a championship at 2:30. The third place game at 1 has Greenville against Waterloo. The consolation title at 11:30, Triad will face the Freeburg JV, the JV of Freeburg in that tournament after Lebanon had to disband their basketball team late this year. The seventh-place game at 10 o'clock this morning, New Athens will face Metro East Lutheran. And at the Alton Tournament, the championship game at 7:30 tonight has Jersey against Bree Central. The third-place game at 6, Modern Day against Alton. And the fifth-place game at 4:30 has Southeast taking on Lanphier. Happy to be joined right now by Carletonville girls head coach Darren Deneve. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, the Carletonville Tip-Off Classic, I know it's the first year you've had this event, Darren. How's it going so far?
Going pretty well. We've got, four teams that probably will never see each other in any other way, and so it kind of works out. We've got, Shelbyville from the east and Camp Point Central from the west and north, and then Brussels comes in down by the river, and so it's nice to be able to play some new teams, and so everybody showed up last night. We had a couple games, and looking forward to two more today.
You know, as we get there's so many tournaments now, holiday tournaments, in-season tournaments. It really is challenging to find tournaments where you're not playing just the same teams over and over.
It is, and, you know, we run into that a little bit. We love our holiday tournament, but sometimes, you know, between the holiday tournament and the county tournament, we see some of those same teams. And even though that's nice and you have some rivalries there, it's also nice sometimes to play somebody different.
And I know just off the top of my head here, you mentioned the holiday tournament. I saw something from you earlier in the week. There'll be a few changes coming to the holiday tournament next year or the year after.
Just mainly because of the way the calendar falls next year. This year is going to be very familiar to fans. It's, 4 days, and we'll have two pools of four teams and crossover games on the last day. And then next year, Christmas falls on a Friday, and so instead of starting on Saturday, we're going to start on Monday the 28th. This is in 2020, and we'll just make it an 18 bracket. And then after that, I'm sure we'll go right back to the two pools of four and everything. It just so happens with Christmas falling on that Friday, I just felt like maybe we'll give people, with their families, a little more time off at Christmas, and we'll get the three games in, on that Monday.
You made an executive decision.
No, actually, it was very democratic. we emailed everybody and got their opinions and we went with what everybody what the majority wanted to do.
Majority rules. That's a good way to operate. Darren, you guys are off to a very nice start. You beat Williamsville in your season opener. You got the win last night. As you kind of look at your squad here through two games, what have you liked?
We're pretty quick. We're able to defend. We're not the biggest team out there, but I think we're going to be one of our better ball-handling teams, one of our better defensive teams, one of our better shooting teams, really. And so we're excited about the girls we have back, and we'll just kind of see how it goes.
Darren, when I hear you say that this could be one of your better defensive teams, that stands out to me because you have had a lot of great defensive teams over your years at Carletonville.
Well, I appreciate that. We got girls that buy into that idea. And, we didn't really play all that well Tuesday night in the first quarter. We were down 8-6 after the quarter. When I say we didn't play that well, we didn't play that well offensively. I just sort of pulled the girls aside at the end of the quarter and said, look, girls, if we hold teams to 8 points a quarter, we're going to have a good year. And so just try to relax and make some shots and keep guarding. And so that's kind of how the game went the rest of the time.
Yeah, you obviously lost some big pieces from a year ago, but you also have some very big pieces returning this year.
We do. We lost our leading scorer and leading rebounder last year. Rachel Olroyd was our leading scorer, and Peyton Tiemann was our leading rebounder. But those were our two seniors. And so we've got seven girls back that really had a lot of experience. Corin Stewart has played. This is really her. She played a little bit her freshman year, and so, she's got three or a little bit more than that years of experience. She's a senior. My daughter, Sarah, is a senior. We list her as a guard center.
That's a rare combo.
She can have the ball a little bit, but we list her at 5'10", but she's really probably about 5'8". And so she has to guard the other team's post player sometimes. So the other two seniors are Elise Baker, who is a post player, and Haley Wills. Then our junior class includes Gracie Reels, who started last year and is she's not our best defender, she's close. Aaron Seal is a point guard type who can shoot it a little bit. Had a good game on Tuesday against Williamsville. Played quite a bit last year, but she's probably the girl that's going to get the biggest bump in playing time this year. Sophomore Jill Staten. Jill's a really fantastic athlete no matter what she decides to play. She's a big key for us as well.
In terms of athletes, Jill Staten and Gracie Reels, those two right there, athletically, I don't know there's anything they can't do.
I can't remember which coach it was, maybe Teague, talk about how they like to have girls play multi-sports, and we're the same way here at Carletonville, and those girls are playing several sports, and they shine in all of them. They're fast and strong and competitive, and so when you get that kind of a combination, it's good for our athletic program as a whole.
Darren Deneve, good luck today against CSE. And, of course, this is a team, you know, that they've made some deep runs here in the postseason over the years. So this will be a nice early season test.
Yeah, they're a good team. You know, we saw them last night. Obviously, they played Shelbyville here at our tournament, and they're bigger than us. They're pretty athletic. We've got our hands full. There's no doubt about it.
All right, Darren Deneve, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we look forward to following you throughout the year.
Appreciate it, Tim. Thank you for having me on.
Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carletonville Lady Cavaliers. It's the tip-off classic. Begins at noon today, Shelbyville against Brussels, and then the championship at 1:30, Carletonville against CSE. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will bring you our conversation with Williamsville head football coach Aaron Kuntz as the Bullets get set to take on Quincy Notre Dame in the 3A state semifinals today. Coach Kuntz on the way. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, state semifinal day across the state for football, and 23 of the 32 teams still playing are public schools. All four in 1A are public. Central A&M will be at Athens. That's a 2 o'clock kick today. Lena Winslow at Kewanee Weathersfield, two 12-0 teams. That'll start at 1 o'clock. In 2A, you've got public versus private in both semifinals. Nashville's at St. Teresa, 1 o'clock kick. Monongah Fieldcrest at Sterling Newman Central Catholic, also a 1 o'clock kick. Three public A schools in 3A. Williamsville, they will be at Quincy Notre Dame, 2 o'clock kick. Going to talk with Aaron Kuntz in just a moment. The other 3A semifinal, Byron at Princeton, scheduled for a 1 o'clock kick. In 4A, all public schools still alive. Murfreesboro's at Effingham. That's a 2 o'clock kick. Richmond Burton will be at Coal City. Both of those teams are 12-0. In 5A, Rochester is at Muscoota. 5 o'clock kick tonight. Rockford Boylan Catholic will be at Chicago St. Rita beginning at 2:30. In 6A, all public schools in 6A, Glenwood at 12-0 will travel to 12-0 East St. Louis. 2 o'clock kick this afternoon. And then Crystal Lake Prairie Ridge will be at Deerfield on the other 6A semi. In 7A, Chicago Mount Carmel at Villa Park Willowbrook, in LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy will be at Rolling Meadows. And in 8A, Frankfort Lincoln Way East at 12-0 will be at 8-4 Chicago Marist. And then 8-4 Chicago Brother Rice will be at number 4 Gurney Warren, who is 12-0. So the Sangamo Conference has two teams still alive, as does the Central Illinois Conference and the Central State 8 Conference, all with two teams still kicking here in the state semifinals. For Williamsville, they have been a perennial power for a long, long time now. Aaron Kuntz has built himself a heck of a program with the Bullets. They will travel, first road game for Williamsville in this playoff run. They are at Quincy Notre Dame today. And earlier, we had a chance to catch up with Williamsville head coach Aaron Kuntz. We're happy to be joined on Sports Saturday by Williamsville head coach Aaron Kuntz as the Bullets get set to play in the state semifinals today in Class 3A at Quincy Notre Dame. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time here on the show. And, unfortunately, we want to start today with the tragic event that happened last week. Of course, you guys played Vandalia, great ball game. You got the victory. And then, as some folks from Vandalia traveled home, tragedy struck, and, boy, your team, your district, your community stepped up in a major way.
Yeah, you know, we had a great, intense football game Saturday with them. And, you know, on the field, you know, it's intense. And you get after each other. And, you know, and then, you know, the game ends. And then we're celebrating the win. And we get terrible news about, you know, about a tragedy of, you know, especially two high school students and the principal's, you know, parents. And just so devastating, and it just, you know, kind of puts things really in perspective of what's important. And so, you know, they brought a ton of people over here Saturday, and so we wanted to give back. And, you know, we donated the portion of the IHSA, the gate that we get from the IHSA, back to them, to Vandalia and the families. And we just felt like, you know, we just wanted to do something for them. You know, just to try to give them some type of relief for this, you know, what they're going through. So our school district all wore red out of respect for them and to show support for them. And our football team, one of our former players, Josh Branson, he had the idea of putting a Vandalia logo on our helmet this week. So we're wearing the Vandalia V in red and white on our, on the back of our helmet this week to show our support and concern for their community and school district and football team.
And, Coach, you mentioned about kind of putting things into perspective. We all get caught up in the game, and everybody wants to win, and then something like this happens, and then all of a sudden you realize what's truly important in life. But is this a situation where – what type of conversations do you have with your players? I mean, you know, they're all kids, you know, and a lot of times now, you know, you might be from Vandalia or Williamsville. They might have interacted over the summer at different things. So what do you tell your group of young people after something like this happens?
Well, you know, we do talk about how, you know, football is really a fun part of life. And, you know, we get so worked up about it, and really putting things in perspective, you know, just you can't take life for granted, yeah. You know, and you got to live every moment, and you got to appreciate it, and you got to really, really appreciate what you have. And, you know, we just talk about how, you know, cherish the moments and don't take anything for granted. We also, you know, also just, I have a freshman son, and, you know, just to put him in my arms and think, you know, and your daughter and your wife and your parents, you know, it just makes you, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. And I guess that's the big message, is just don't take anything for granted. Don't take your family for granted. Don't take your kids for granted, and just use this as a lesson of that. Appreciate what you have, for sure.
Talking with Williamsville head football coach Aaron Kuntz as the Bullets get set to take on Quincy Notre Dame in the state semifinals. And, Coach, if I would have told you last week when we talked, you're going to turn the ball over four times in the first half, you probably would have thought, well, we're going to have a little bit of a hole to dig out of in the second half, but that was not the case.
Well, we had such a fast start. We got it up 21-0, and then, yeah, we did something. Really, we haven't turned the ball over much all year, and we had two straight fumbles and then two straight interceptions. And, you know, Vandalia plays great defense, so we got to credit them for making plays too. But, yeah, for our defense really stepped up, and they only got in one time when they had short fields to work with. So at halftime, our kids were really somber, and I said, guys, this could be easily 21-7 the other way after those turnovers. So, you know, start over. It's a new half, and you know, we came out and played really well in the second half. So it was a credit to our kids. They've been resilient all year. And you know, when you get this deep in the playoffs, you're going to run into adversity, and I thought they really faced it head on and did a great job overcoming it.
You know, we focus on turnovers, and turnovers matter. But really, more important than turnovers is the points off of turnovers. And as you said, when your defense is able to limit the points off those turnovers, that can shift momentum.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it just gave our defense a lot of confidence that, hey, we can do this no matter what, you know, no matter where they get the ball. And now our offense, on the other hand, I think they were a little down, but I do think that it does show that, hey, when things go bad, you know, both sides of the ball are going to step it up at some point and get it done.
And of course, a complete team is what you have, but you got an all-state tailback in Grant Ripperdup, and then an honorable mention quarterback in Mr. McCormick. Just talk a little bit about those two kids. That's a big honor to get all-state.
Yeah, it is. It really is. You know, Rippy, as we call him, our running back, he's you know, this is his third year of playing running back for us. His sophomore year, he split time at running back, and last year he had a lot of yards. Last year, he's approaching 3,000 yards for his career. But what he's done this year, besides carrying the football, I mean, he's 210 pounds and he runs hard, and you know, besides that, you know, he's blocking for Connor and Steven Gleason, and you know, he's a tough wrestler, and so he really takes pride in doing the little things besides making those big punishing runs, and so he's been such a great leader for us this year. And Connor, you know, can't say enough about what he's done. He's approaching 3,000 yards for the season, but you know, through the air and running. So that's pretty incredible. And another just a great kid, a great leader, just just wants to win football games and has found a way to do that. So we say that we've got a combination of a quarterback, a fullback, and a running back with his ability to throw and his speed and his size. So he's just a great kid too. Just so all those guys are just so fun to coach.
And Coach, the way it's worked out, you got to load the bus up for the first time this postseason this week.
I know, it's not fair, is it? we've been really lucky to get three home games, and so now we go on the road to what I've heard is an intense, very intense place to play in Quincy, Notre Dame, and I've heard it's going to be a pretty hostile environment over there, and pretty, you know, their crowd, you know, I can't believe this with all the success they've had that they've never hosted a semifinal game there. So I can only imagine the crowd they're going to have, and you know, the run that they've made has been incredible. They've been playing really great football, and so it's going to be a really intense, exciting environment.
And you know, when you get this deep in the playoffs, it's always kind of neat when you have public school versus private school. I know you guys, you don't get caught up in that from a coaching perspective or a team perspective, but from the outside, that is certainly a storyline.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is, I think it is on the outside, but in the end, you know, we both have, you know, 40, 50 guys that all have the same goal, and we've all been working hard since last December, and in the end, it's 11 guys playing at a time, versus 11 guys playing at the time, and we're all, you know, 15 to 18 year old kids out there, and so for us, you know, we don't take much stock in that, but yeah, it is a cool storyline.
When you prepare here for QND, what games do you focus on in your preparation when you're watching film?
Well, I mean, we're limited. We don't get all the games, but we're limited in what we get, so we try to find teams that run similar both offense and defensive schemes so we can, you know, see how, A, you know, if the team runs a similar defensive scheme as us, so we can see how they block the fronts that we run and what plays they ran to attack those defenses. And then teams that run similar offenses, obviously, how do they defend these formations and these plays? So that's the biggest thing that you try to do when you go to scout, and you know it's an intense process. I mean, we spend hours all day. I was still looking at film, you know, Thursday night, and so it just never ends. And you just both coaches and coaching staff, they just want to do everything possible they can to have your kids prepared for this big game.
And you talked about the atmosphere that you're going to see at QND, so a fast start imperative.
Well, you know what, I wouldn't say it's imperative, but I think, you know, I think we started fast all year. I think our kids are used to getting going. You know, we run really a really fast offensive tempo, and that's what we've done this year. So we're hoping to get going and get on the scoreboard early. But like I said, we've also faced, you know, in the past, we faced last week for sure. You face some adversity, and you just have to trust that your kids are going to, no matter how you start, it's going to be how you finish. And so hopefully today we are going to get that quick start. And if not, our kids will be able to fight through it.
Aaron Kutz, thanks for a few minutes of your time, and go get them, sir.
All right. Thank you.
The head coach of the Williamsville Bullets, Aaron Kutz. They will be at Quincy Notre Dame, 2 o'clock kickoff this afternoon as Williamsville tries to punch their ticket to the state championship game the day after Thanksgiving. Athens will host Central A&M. That's a 2 o'clock kick today. Rochester is at Muskoka. That's a 5 o'clock kick. And Glenwood is at East St. Louis with a 2 o'clock kick. So lots of great state semifinal action around the area today. Of course, all sorts of girls basketball tournament action as well. So get out and enjoy some high school athletics here on this Saturday, November the 23rd. Thanks to our coaches who joined us this morning, Brett Teakins, Steve Woolley, Drew Logan, Darren Deneve, and Aaron Kutz. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WUSMI, FAM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville. Fighting Illini football underway right now on 105.3 The Ox from Iowa. Illini basketball tonight, 6 o'clock on The Ox, hosting Hampton. For Jennifer Graham, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done.